Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with some articles from AARP, the magazine, under the heading of Real People, Inspired Stories of Friends and Neighbors in Their Own Words. We'll start with The Rookie. He made it to the show at 56. Announcer Johnny Doskoff worked in minor league baseball for 30 years before the Oakland A's called. There are announcer jobs opening every year with one major league team or another. Whenever I saw something I thought I would be a candidate for, I would send my resume and demo tape, but I never got any bites. In 30 years, I really never came close, to be honest. In 2012, Ken Korek, who was doing the radio with the Oakland A's, had knee replacement surgery, and I was able to fill in for a few weeks, but then it was back to my minor league team. I started telling my wife, it's probably not going to happen for me. I wasn't unhappy, though. As an AAA team announcer in Sacramento, I still got to call baseball for a living, which is a pretty good deal. It was long days and a lot of travel, but it never felt like a job. Every day was different. Many of the coaches and players became good friends. I've officiated at 9 of the players' weddings by now. I'd always dreamed of being a big league announcer, though. Players and coaches would get called up to the majors, and I was always excited for them. But it was never me. Then, in the fall of 2022, the A's reached out to me and said, "We may have something for you." I kept in touch with them over the winter, and not long before the opening day, they brought me on board. My first game on the radio was against the Mets on April 14th of last year. I was a 56-year-old rookie. To be in that seat to call baseball was really a thrill, and it's still pretty thrilling. You dream your whole life of working at a big league level. It took me 30 years, but that's okay, because it shows my 18-year-old daughter, don't give up on your dreams. I appreciate my job every day. It's beyond anything I could have expected. Everything is first class, and I'm just learning so much. To get this opportunity later in life, it's very rare. That's not lost on me. And this was as told to John Rosengren. Major League play-by-play announcer Johnny Doskoff, 57, lives in El Dorado Hills, California. Now, also from the magazine, let's look at Mariachi Champions for Life, how Albert Martinez lifted the spirits of a town that really needed music. I was desperate. It was the summer of 2021, and my wife and I had decided to relocate to San Antonio for her work. There were no opportunities for me. Most of the jobs for the next school year had been taken. If September came around and I couldn't find work as a music teacher, I would be out of luck for a full year. Then a friend told me about an opening in Uvalde, an hour and a half west of San Antonio. The high school was looking for a mariachi band director. I hurried down there, interviewed, and got the job. I had been to the State Mariachi Festival 3 times as a band director in my hometown, El Paso, so I came in gung-ho. I imagined leading the Uvalde Mariachi Band to regionals, then to state. But I had less than 5 months to get them ready. "Come on, get out your instruments. Let's get going," I would say. But the students had been treating mariachi like a free period. They would just lie on the floor, scrolling on their phones. I couldn't even get them to move a pencil. I knew that if I wanted to motivate these kids, I would have to get to know them first. I put aside music and just talked to them. That's when things began to change. Soon I had 2 kids playing instruments, then 4. Soon it was 10, 15. On the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I said, "Guys, look around the room. Every one of you has an instrument in your hands. Somebody take a picture. We don't want to forget this day. In February of 2022, we went to regionals and got our butts kicked. But I was happy because the kids got to see a bunch of other mariachis play. When we came home, the junior said, "We know what it takes now, and next year we'll make it." "All right," I said, "let's get to work." Then that May came the horrific shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde. Our whole town was shocked and devastated. Still, during practice, I tried to keep it business as usual. The band room was a place where kids could make music without having to worry about anything else going on in the wider world. When fall came, my new seniors stepped up. The Fab Five, I called them. They never missed a rehearsal. I give them all the credit for how well we played at regionals in February 2023. Our advancing to state was a big deal for the whole town. The community gathered with signs wishing us luck. Everyone needed something positive to root for. At state, later the same month, the kids put their hearts and souls into their performance, and the judges were moved. Each judge gives a score from 1 to 5, with 1 meaning perfect. We scored 2 ones and a 2, and we won. When they brought out the trophy, the kids were in disbelief, hands over their mouths, jaws on the floor, hugging, crying, families rejoicing, on the phone, telling everybody. I told the kids, "Nobody can take that away from you. In 50 years, you will still be a state champion." This year, we advanced to state again, but we didn't win. And that teaches them something, too. Things aren't always going to go your way. Your responsibility is just to show up and do the best you can. I mean, I love mariachi, but it's not the end-all and be-all. It's about the life lessons it teaches the students for their future. It's unlike any of my students will come back in 5 years and say, "I'm still playing mariachi." But more likely, they will come back and say, "Hey, remember when you told us about not giving up when we made a mistake? I didn't stop. I kept going." This article was as told to Greg Siegel. Musician and educator Albert Martinez, 52, is the director of performing arts for the Uvalde, Texas School District. Now, moving on to AARP, the bulletin, and the article that we've been reading about COVID, where we are now and where we're headed. And we're at the caption, "From Long COVID Diagnosis to Treatment." 1. Extreme fatigue. It's common to experience fatigue when your body is busy fighting off an illness. But some people still struggle with fatigue long after their initial COVID infection. In fact, a lack of energy is the number one symptom reported by long COVID patients. In some, this can be diagnosed as chronic fatigue syndrome, which has been on the rise since the start of the pandemic. Beretta defines this as a disabling level of fatigue that severely limits daily activities. This lingering fatigue may be due to limited production of energy within the muscles caused by damage to the mitochondria from a COVID infection. It can happen to anyone, no matter their level of fitness before infection. I've treated patients who have been triathletes and now may only be able to do 15 or 20 minutes of exercise a day when they're used to running and swimming miles at a time. Kappa recommends starting slow and pacing yourself with everything you do around the house, doing shorter intervals several times throughout the day rather than trying to do everything at once. Whether it gets better depends on the individual. Some people's symptoms clear, and some people may battle them indefinitely. 2, a shortness of breath. An analysis of chest CT scans from 144 patients, ages 27 to 80, found that more than one-third of people hospitalized with a previous COVID infection had lung scarring and thickening 2 years after coming into contact with the virus. Even patients with milder cases who walked away without scarring can experience changes in their breathing. Some research shows that people after COVID start to take shorter, shallower breaths, Beretta says. This essentially causes a type of hyperventilation they are doing without even recognizing it, not getting good fresh air deep into the lungs, and this can lead to shortness of breath. Doctors have found success using respiratory exercises to help patients relearn slow, deep breathing. Number three, cognitive changes. Difficulty concentrating, spaciness, and forgetfulness are just a few of the brain challenges COVID can bring on. These can last for weeks or months, or in some with long COVID, become an everyday occurrence that lasts indefinitely. COVID may linger in a person's gut long after an infection, altering their microbiome and hindering the body's ability to produce serotonin, leading to cognitive disturbances. COVID, in many, also disrupt the blood-brain barrier, allowing chemicals or molecules in the rest of the body to enter the brain-blood circulation and potentially lead to brain fog. One study found that 30 days after testing positive for COVID-19, people were at greater risk for cognitive decline as well as for mental health disorders, including anxiety, depression, and stress. Another study found inflammation in the brains of people with mild to moderate COVID-19 was similar to the effects of 7 years of aging. Doctors are leading neurologically affected patients through cognitive rehabilitation exercises that show promise in reducing symptoms. Number four, depression and anxiety. Mood-related disorders are one of the top five issues that happen to people after COVID, Beretta says. There may be a direct relationship between the virus's effect on the brain and mood issues. A 2021 review of 8 studies found that 12 weeks after COVID infection, 11 to 28% of people had depression symptoms, and 3 to 12% of those individuals reported their symptoms as severe. If you're feeling more stressed or down after catching COVID, tell your primary care physician, who can refer you to a therapist, or visit the American Psychological Association's research tool at locator.apa.org to find a qualified therapist in your area. Number five, sleep disturbances. Nearly 40% of people with long COVID have reported major changes to their sleep patterns. One study looked at 1,056 COVID-19 patients who did not have a severe enough infection to require hospitalization. Of that population, 76.1% reported having insomnia, and 22.8% severe insomnia. Sleep apnea may also appear post-COVID, another way the disease affects the respiratory system. Talk to your doctor if you're having sleep issues. A CPAP, continuous positive airway pressure machine, can help with sleep apnea. Lifestyle habits that prioritize healthy sleep, such as keeping consistent sleep and wake times and avoiding large meals before bed, may also help. Post-COVID sleep has literally been a nightmare. We saw a 23% increase in sleeping pill prescriptions during and post-COVID, says Michael Brias, a clinical psychologist and clinical sleep specialist in Los Angeles. Number six, digestive upset. Diarrhea, constipation, abdominal pain, bloating, and gas. These symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome can be byproducts of an encounter with COVID. A survey of 729 COVID survivors found that 29% experienced at least one new chronic GI symptom 6 months after their infection. There is evidence that part of the COVID virus linger in the GI tract for many months after the initial illness, and it's been suggested that the presence of these ongoing viral fragments causes dysfunction or problems with the GI tract, leading to mostly symptoms of diarrhea and gastric distress and discomfort, Beretta says. Talk to your doctor about any new digestive symptoms or seek help from a gastroenterologist. You can keep a food journal and note if your condition flares after eating certain foods. Try cutting out those foods, then reintroducing them one by one to see what you react to, Kaplan advises. 7. New or worsened allergies. Some people who develop COVID experience allergies they never had before. One study found the risk of developing allergic diseases such as asthma and allergic rhinitis rose significantly within the first 30 days after a COVID diagnosis. This may be because one's immune system stays hypervigilant after fighting the virus. In severe cases, like Chrissy Bernal's, this can lead to mast cell activation syndrome, or MCAS, a disease that can behave like a series of severe allergies. The body cells become hypersensitive, causing strong reactions to everything from food and pollen to even a hot shower or exercise. Antihistamines and other medications may help, so talk to your doctor if you experience skin itching, a rapid pulse, wheezing, or gastrointestinal symptoms. Number 8. Some COVID survivors battle chronic pain, everything from aching joints to testicular pain. There is a higher risk of inflammatory arthritis, and women are at higher risk than men. One review of studies estimated that 10% of people who contracted COVID experienced musculoskeletal pain at some point during the first year after infection. Reducing stress, eating a healthy diet, and exercise may ease some post-COVID discomfort. Massage therapy, movement therapy, acupuncture, and over-the-counter pain medications may also offer relief. Your doctor can refer you to a specialist, such as a rheumatologist, who can help manage symptoms, including joint pain. And finally, fast-moving research means new hope. If your symptoms last after a bout of COVID, start with your primary care physician, who can help treat your symptoms or refer you to a specialist. Despite previous dismissals, long COVID is more recognized these days, Patel says, and the CDC is doing its part to educate both patients and providers. And initiatives such as the National Institute of Health's RECOVER program are researching treatment options. In a year, things will look different because research is moving so quickly, says Sarah Martin, MD, medical director of the Adult Post-Acute COVID Clinic at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. The CDC, for instance, is funding a series of clinical trials that the NIH has in the works. This new information, Martin says, may guide doctors, including herself, who treat long COVID patients to better ease their symptoms. This piece was by Nicole Pager, and she writes regularly for Self, Glamour, Parade, and other national magazines. Now looking at prevention's secret of aging well, how to live a healthier, longer life. Age-proof your body. Making sure every part of your body functions well is vital to ensuring a long life. Find how you can retain resiliency in each part of your body so you can heal faster and stay healthier. This is by Laura Shen. It might seem like science fiction if it weren't so ordinary. Our bones break and mend. We burn a hand and it heals. We forget words and then remember them in a flash. The body has an astounding ability to bounce back that can feel like a miracle. But that healing power slows down as we age. We lose a few more words or more days elapse between a scrape and smooth skin. Our lifespans have nearly doubled in the past 100 years, but the structure of our physical hasn't adapted to keep pace. That means as we age, our skin and our muscular skeletal and organ systems suffer wear and tear. Resources for repair take longer to marshal their forces, but we can help our bodies retain resiliency, that incredible ability to absorb stress, strain, and pain, and then adapt and recover. Physicians and researchers are making fascinating discoveries about how we can build a more resilient system at any age. Here's what you can do to keep your body bouncing back. The heart. This muscle requires a constant oxygen supply from blood vessels, which act like a small highway system, says Adam Chico, Ph.D., a professor of biomedical sciences with expertise in cardiorespiratory physiology and metabolism at Colorado State University. Lifestyle factors such as smoking and normal aging can damage those highways, making blood travel more arduous. Clogged roads can eventually lead you to the emergency room if blood and oxygen no longer arrive where they are needed, resulting in a heart attack. Also, heart muscles become stiffer and less efficient as we age, requiring more oxygen to do the same work. But researchers have found that age-related deterioration can be curtailed with the right lifestyle choices. Upping your heart's resilience can help you prevent a heart attack and recover faster afterward if you have one. The secret: improve your heart's highway system by widening its roads and building new ones to improve the supply of blood and oxygen. It's not as Frankenstein-like as it sounds. A heart-pounding workout builds up those vessels at any age. This improved highway system ensures that life-sustaining traffic can get through and help maintain and repair your heart muscle so your heart can continue functioning as an efficient pump. We may not be able to prevent the aging process, but we can make it safer, Chico says. Build a more resilient heart. Get sweaty with cardio. Physical exercise may lessen or even partially reverse age-related heart changes, according to a small study from the University of Texas. For previously inactive individuals over age 65, just 1 year of slowly increasing vigorous exercise remodeled the heart's left ventricle and improved arterial function and aerobic exercise capacity. Various exercise recommendations exist. For instance, at least 150 minutes of moderate exercise or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise per week, or a combo, as suggested by the American Heart Association. But all the advice comes down to this: get your heart pumping. To determine your maximum heart rate, subtract your age from 220. For a 50-year-old, that number is 170. Multiply that by 0.64 to learn what your lowest heart rate would be for moderate exercise. In our example, around 109. Multiply by 0.77 for the minimum number for vigorous exercise, around 131 for a 50-year-old. You can use a smartwatch to track your numbers, but always talk to your doctor before trying to hit a specific number. Your skin. A skinned knee took a week or so to heal when you were a child. If it now seems to take twice as long or longer, you're not imagining it. As we age, cells in our three skin layers don't turn over the way they used to, a necessary process for clearing out damage and making repairs. Cell turnover slows down even more quickly if we have failed to wear sunscreen, smoked, or been exposed to air pollution. By our mid-40s, our skin tears more easily and forms wrinkles. If we don't invest in fixing the machinery that turns over the skin, it goes to sleep, says Abigail Waldman, MD, a dermatological surgeon at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Here's how to wake up your skin. Build more resilient skin. Stress it out. The primary method for restoring skin's natural resilience is to injure it. Hear us out. Two approaches, using retinoids and processes like microneedling, boost resilience by stressing skin and instigating cell turnover. Retinoids, typically used in facial creams, reawaken your cell turnover machinery, which can then strengthen the skin's protective function, limit moisture loss, and protect collagen. That can result in smoother, clearer skin that can bounce back from an injury more quickly. Plus, the ingredient will refresh hands, knees, and feet, Dr. Waldman says. Products with higher percentages of retinoids will revive the skin's machinery faster, but lower percentages, such as 1%, found in over-the-counter formulas, will work too. You might just need to wait a year or so to see the results. That's okay, Dr. Waldman says, but only if you view it as part of the rest of your life routine, not a fix-it-fast process. Meanwhile, procedures like chemical peels, microneedling, and microdermabrasion lead to nano-injuries in the outer layers of the skin, creating more collagen and elastin. It's like exercise, Dr. Waldman says. To build muscle strength, you're creating tiny injuries your body will fix and make stronger. A skincare specialist can help you find the right treatment and number of sessions. And next time, we'll look at the brain. And now, with the few minutes that we have left, let's go to AARP The Bulletin and look at some more money-saving tips. And these are under the heading of healthcare. Get a free gym membership. Enrolled in Medicare? Many Advantage and Medigap plans include a free gym membership, often through the Silver Sneakers program or other options. Use up your OTC benefit. Most Medicare Advantage plans include a prepaid card you can use to purchase over-the-counter medicines and health-related items. The allowance expires monthly or quarterly, so stock up before your card resets. Try virtual visits. During the pandemic, Medicare began covering many types of medical appointments via computer, tablet, or phone. Coverage for these telehealth services was recently extended through the end of 2024, including services with physical therapists, speech pathologists, and others. Meeting virtually may save you the cost of parking or the time you need to take off work. Need an x-ray? Shop around. One study found that prices for common radiological services can vary nearly fourfold. If you are paying out of pocket or have high deductibles, comparing costs can mean big savings. It's network. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.